Glory. Man. Hey, I was looking at the time. All right, we got a little bit of time here. I have a tendency sometimes to talk a little too long. Not here. I mean, they tell me that, you know, they give me a time parameter, and I'm a rule follower, so I stay within my parameters, right? You know, that's important. But the good thing about being a part of the pastoral staff, anytime you pastor a church, you can always have another opportunity. You know, an evangelist has to come in, they got to dump the whole load, right? You know, they got to give you everything because they got one shot at you. But in pastoral ministry, you always come back together, and so you don't have to be long-winded. I used to be pretty long-winded. I would take a lot of time, and we were in a country church back home, and they had the clock on the back wall. Only I could see it, but it was a gift to me. It was so I knew what time it was. We had a wonderful church, lots of nice people there, had a couple there, they were always greeting people. You know, even if I went long, they always made people feel good about being at church. You know, they were always real good to greet folks, you know. Are you nice to people when they come to church? Yeah, you ought to be, yeah. Well, it was Richard and Gladys Dunn, and the Dunns were some of the nicest people in our church. They would just greet people every time somebody would come in. They would always try to make a point to get over and shake a hand, you know, and let them know they were glad to see them. And one day, service was getting started, and Mrs. Dunn wasn't able to get over to greet a visitor that we had before service. And she kept telling her husband, she's like, as soon as service is over, as soon as the pastor quits preaching, I'm going to get over there, and I'm going to say hi to that new person that's here today. I'm going to make sure that I greet him. I don't want him to leave here and not feel welcome. He's like, don't worry about it, Gladys. You'll be able to get over there. And so Mrs. Dunn just chomping at the bit. Finally, I closed, and she ran over there to him, and she said, hello, sir. She said, I'm Gladys Dunn. And he said, me too. That's the longest-winded preacher I ever heard. Okay, that didn't really happen. That's a whole lot of setup for very little joke, wasn't it? I want to talk to you tonight, continue on a series that I've been teaching called Putting the Go in the Gospel. This will be the third part of it. I will do a little recap for you. And I'm not going to be in a hurry. That's okay. I'm not going anywhere. I love this church. I love our pastors. Take dynamite to blow me out of here. I ain't going nowhere. So we'll come back. If we don't finish it all tonight, then we'll finish it at another time. So the communications team did the slides for me. I appreciate them. They got everything ready for us. How many of you appreciate that? Doesn't that look great? Yeah. This is so if y'all tell me to hit the road, I know right where it's at. So our scripture text comes from Matthew, the 5th chapter, beginning with verse 13. The last couple of times that we shared, we've been speaking about this idea of putting the go in the gospel. In Matthew 5, beginning with verse 13 says, Jesus said, you are the light of the world. A city that's set on a hill cannot be hidden. Excuse me. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand. And it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. And so we said to you, if you heard me speaking on this before, we said to you that as believers, we're called to be a light in the world. Amen? In a world that is engulfed in darkness, we're supposed to be a light. And I gave a story, I told a story about how back home we go cave diving. If you're fancy, if you talk real fancy, you call it spelunking. But we didn't. We call it cave diving. It's the same thing, you know, just better equipment, I think. And I told a story about dropping my light down a crevice when I was with another guy. And when I lost my light, I realized that, man, this is as dark as I've ever seen it. I've never seen things be so dark as it is right now. And the guy that was with me, he had a light, and I was clinging to him pretty tight. Because when there's no light in the room except his, you know, that's what darkness is just the absence of light. You understand that? By definition, it just means the absence of light, which makes total sense when we understand that the world is in darkness and Jesus gave us a light to go into the world. Why? Because how do you extinguish darkness? All it takes is a light. Right? And so this idea, we started talking about how this idea of being a light is showing us the value of what it is that you and I bring to the earth, because we are the light of the world. Jesus put that light on the inside of us. God saw to it that we could go into all the world and produce light so that we could push back darkness. Amen? So there were some things that we said to you. The first one that we said to you was this: the world is waiting for someone to go. And I told you that that particular point, I was reminded about Pastor Hagen talking about in 2005 at a Winter Bible Seminar, where he said the world is waiting for someone to go to them with the message of faith. And it really struck a chord with me to understand this idea that there is somebody waiting on the other side of our obedience. You understand that, right? That your obedience to what God is calling you to do isn't just about you. It's about the people that are waiting on the other side of your obedience. And I don't know about you, but if it were my kid that was waiting on the other side of that, how many of you know I'd want somebody to put some go in their gospel? I'd want them to get, you know, put some wheels under them. Let's get some things going, because I've got family that are out there, right? So we don't want to, we understand that there's a world that's waiting for somebody to come to them with this message of faith, to go tell them the good news. And so we want to be sitting on ready wherever we go, taking the gospel to the world. Amen? Then we said this to you. We said the second thing was, Jesus already gave us the direction to go. Matthew 28, 19 and 20. That commission is for all of us. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I've given you. And be sure of this: I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Glory to God. There's a lot that could be said right there about, you know, evangelistic work. Understand this, that sometimes we want to wait until we have, I need an evangelism team before I can go out and evangelize. But the reality is, if we go and we take the gospel, Jesus is with us. Oh, come on now. I said Jesus is with us. And He gave us His Spirit. Remember when He said that, He said, when I go away, He said, I'll pray the Father and He'll send another Comforter. One of the same sort, right? I used to have a hard time understanding how it was better for me that Jesus left, because I thought it'd be pretty good if Jesus was riding in with me to work every day. You know, like in the flesh. I think that, you know, in my mind, I couldn't understand that. But when you recognize how close He is, the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, the Scripture says, dwells in our mortal bodies. Could He get any closer? We carpool together every day, right? I don't know if we can get by with like driving in the diamond lane, tell them, say, well, you know, it's me and Jesus in the car. So, but He gave us His Spirit, and He equipped us with His love. The Scripture tells us that in Romans 5:5, doesn't it? It says, and hope makes not ashamed. The love of God has been poured into our hearts by who? The Holy Spirit that's been given unto us. Amen? So we have the Holy Spirit. We've got the love of God. Jesus gave us direction to go. So we don't have to wait until you've got an evangelism team or a whole group of people. Wherever we go, we've been given the power and the ability to take the gospel with us. Amen? The third thing we said to you is we must choose to go. It's a decision that we have to make. You know, how many of you know this? God is not making us do stuff. Right? Now, you may get a leading to do something. You may feel compelling by the Holy Spirit, an urgency to do something. But unless we do the going, the going doesn't get done. Right? We have to get engaged. We have to get in gear. And then I gave you four elements to keeping the go in our gospel. We said one of the things is we must know the way. We can't go out and give somebody something other than what the gospel is. The gospel is that Jesus is the way. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. And I said to you, it may be that there are some people that you know out here in the world that they don't believe everything that you and I believe. They hold some different beliefs. In this, what we call a melting pot that is the United States of America, how many of you know people have been bringing they're tired, they're poor, and they're huddled masses to this country for many, many years. There have been people that have come here, and they have wrong ideas about who God is and how you are able to connect with God, right? Well, we can't bend the gospel to what it is that they believe just because it's socially awkward for us to tell them there's only one way. But if you want to help somebody, you got to give them the truth. And there is only one way. And those aren't my words and those aren't your words. They're the words of the Lord Jesus. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to you. You want to know how to get to the Father? Jesus is the way to the Father. You want to know how he said, I'm the way. That's how you get there. He said, I'm the truth about the Father. People lying about who God is, saying he's causing all kind of bad things to happen. You want to know the truth about the Father? Look at Jesus. You want to experience the life of the Father, the Zoe. He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. You want to experience the life? Jesus. Still the answer. Amen. We said we have to know the way. The next thing we said was we have to be filled and stay filled with the Holy Spirit. We must choose a life of living and moving and having our being in the Spirit of God. Romans 8:1 says, there's therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ who do not walk after the flesh but according to the Spirit. Now I'll say right there, some people say, well, there's no condemnation in Christ. But that's not what that says there. It says there's no condemnation in Christ to those that walk after the Spirit and not according to the flesh. Condemnation comes as a result of living and walking and operating out of our flesh. Oh, glory to God. He'd quit preaching and go to meddling right there. But how many of you know if we keep under our body, bring it under subjection, glory to God, the Spirit of God, that same Spirit I said that raised Jesus from the dead, quickens our mortal body, right? We don't have to fulfill the lust of the flesh. Amen. Okay. I'm making sure you're still with me. So we said we have to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Learn to rely on Spirit-led evangelism. You know, the Holy Ghost is not just for you and I to have a Holy Ghost party in here. All well and good that we do. Woohoo! I enjoy a good Holy Ghost meeting. I like camp meeting a lot. But that light, that spirit that we have on the inside of us is meant for us to take outside of the walls. Amen? We're to take this same light, the Holy Spirit that we have, and push outside this building into the streets and go into the highways and the byways. We heard Pastor Craig preaching this morning, and he was praying about that. He said, I'm praying for revival to this generation. Well, when he's praying that, what is he asking? He's asking the Lord to move on people so that they'll go out. How does revival come? Do you don't think when Pastor Craig is praying that he's praying, God, get in the mood for revival. Oh, God, if you would just get in the mood to get some people saved. No. He's praying for believers to catch hold of the spirit of revival, to stir themselves up so that they'll go into all the world and preach the gospel. The husbandman waits, James says, for the precious fruit of the earth and has long patience for it. Why has he got to have long patience for it? Because we're the ones that do the work. Glory. Isn't that right? You and I are the ones that do the work. Amen. We said you got to be a person of prayer. Why did we say that? We said when you pray, you'll get the... Anytime you spend time with someone, you know, if you may know my wife, but you don't know her like I know her. I know her favorite foods. I know how cute she thinks I am. I know her favorite places to go and visit for vacation. I know how cute she thinks I am. Oh, did I say that already? Pardon. There are things that I know about her because of the closeness that I have with her. You and I praying, taking time to get in the presence of God, gives us a closeness and an understanding of the heart of the Father. In order to reach the lost, to put some go in our gospel, we have to spend time praying, communing with the Heavenly Father so He can show us His heart, so He can reveal things to us. Oftentimes in this world, we get so busy that we're doing all kinds of other things. We really don't give any thought to what would God have me do today? So we have to be a person of prayer. Lastly, we said this desire to see people born again. I told you we wouldn't get too far. We're going to get through one new point after this probably. But that's okay, isn't it? Amen, brother. If you're not going to amen me, I will. Desire to see people born again. And I read this scripture quickly to you because I had to finish up. But Matthew 23:37, Jesus said this. He said, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the one who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her. How often I wanted to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing." Man, if that doesn't tell you Jesus' heart. He said, you're killing the prophets. He said, you're stoning them. And he said, I just wanted to gather you all together like a mother hen would gather its chicks. And I don't know about you, but if you've lived on a farm, you've seen that before. You don't mess with a goose that's got some little babies, some goslings. She will leave you graveyard dead. She will hurt you over those babies. Jesus is painting a picture to people who would understand what that was like, a mother's love, how it would want to embrace its children and bring it in. He said, how often I've wanted to just grab you and just pull you in. Matthew 14:14 says, when Jesus went out and saw a great multitude, it says he was moved with compassion for them and healed their sick. Matthew 15:32 says, Jesus called his disciples and he said, I have compassion on the multitude because they have now continued with me 3 days and have nothing to eat, and I don't want to send them away hungry lest they faint on the way. Jesus was moved with compassion towards people. And we said, you must be moved with compassion towards people. There's a hurting world. There are people that are suffering that don't know what you and I know. And they're waiting. The world is waiting for you and I to go to them with this message of faith that you don't have to live like you're living anymore. There's a freedom and we found it. I was living just like you were. But Jesus came in and changed my life. We have to have a desire for that. So tonight I want to start giving you some reasons to go, if you'll let me. This first one is this: go because the world needs you. Go because the world needs you. Evangelism is every believer's responsibility. 2 Corinthians 5, beginning with verse 18, says this. It says, now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. In that passage of scripture, it tells us, it says that we are the ones that have been given this ministry of reconciliation, that we're to be telling the world, be reconciled unto God. Be reconciled unto God, that there is, it says, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled. He made him, Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. We were made ambassadors of this fact, that we're supposed to go into all the world. We get born again, and then when our lives are changed, we're to become an ambassador that takes what we know about this changed life that we have because of what Jesus did, and we're going to go into all the world and tell people, be reconciled unto God. You know, you understand, an ambassador, that by definition, this is what an ambassador does. It's defined as an official representative who acts as a bridge between two parties. Ambassadors serve as diplomats, embodying the authority and interests of the entity that they represent. They're tasked with promoting understanding, fostering relationships, and negotiating on behalf of the one that they represent. They're entrusted with the responsibility of effectively communicating policies, values, and messages with the goal of building trust, facilitating cooperation, and advancing mutual interests. In essence, an ambassador embodies the qualities of diplomacy, tact, and statesmanship. We're called to be ambassadors for Christ. To go and... Now, an ambassador, a good ambassador, is a good representation of the one that sent them. Isn't that right? If you're speaking on the behalf of someone, it's like if I say to you, well, it's like when I was a kid and my mom would send me down the hall to my brother and say, tell your brother to clean his room. When I went down there, my words were her words. Isn't that right? So it carries something different than if I would get beat up if I went down the hall on my own and said, clean your room. My brother, instead of cleaning his room, would clean my clock. But as an ambassador for mom, I'm speaking on mom's behalf, and I say, mom said, clean your room. God said, be reconciled unto him. He sent Jesus to pay the price for what it is that's holding you separate from him. An ambassador looks like the one that sent him. An ambassador, a good ambassador, is somebody who if I could go on my own, the person that I sent would do it just like I do it. It would be the same as if I were there. You understand that? So when we go, our interaction with people should look like they are having an interaction with Jesus. I got real quiet. It should look like they are having an interaction with Jesus. Well, if he's the head and we're the body, that would make sense. Amen? You know, I had the Lord ask me this question. He said, if you have a family member who's lost, and only one Christian was going to come across their path today, would you want it to be a Christian like you? Would you want it to be someone like you? And if you're one like Christ, that's an easy question to answer. But if we're not, then we're doing more harm than good because we're not laboring together with him. We're not ambassadors if we don't represent him in the same way as if he were there. Selah. When people interact with you, do they see Jesus? In every interaction, some of you are thinking back to a couple of days ago at QT when you got a little bit short because your taquito came out of the package at the counter. Or because the gas pumps didn't turn on quick enough. We have to remember that everywhere we go in this world, when we put that Jesus fish on the back of our car, I mean, if you're not going to act like Jesus is riding with you, we're okay if you peel it off. I'll buy it from you. You paid good money for it, but I'll help you. I'll pay. You know, a number of years ago, my wife and I, we met at Wendy's. Things always go back to food with me. I'm not trying to make you hungry here. My wife and I met at Wendy's, but one of the cool things about Dave Thomas, the way that Dave Thomas set up his restaurant, he wanted it to always be the same. And you can't always say that at every restaurant. If you've been to one of a chain restaurant, you go the next time and you're like, the food doesn't taste the same. It's different. You ever experienced that before? You go in and it's not always the same. Dave Thomas, the founder of Wendy's, wanted his food to be consistent. And so what he did, his idea for his burgers... And there was this little video that they trained us all when we were working there, when we were in high school. It was had a little song, white, red, and green. He wanted his burgers to taste the same everywhere you went. And so if you were to go to a Wendy's today, anywhere, from here to Hoboken, all the way to Kansas, if you got your burger just like they make it, and you open it up, the condiments are in this order. White, red, green. White, red, green. That's mayonnaise, ketchup, pickle, onion, tomato, lettuce, every time. And the reason why was because he said, if it's dressed the same, then every bite will always taste the same. Does every bite that we let the world experience taste the same? If we're an ambassador for Christ, every time they have an interaction with a Christian, it should always be similar. It should always look the same. Because we're ambassadors trying to reconcile people. And so this is no indictment on anybody. This is just a way for you and I to correct, to make sure that when we go as an ambassador, that we're representing Christ well. We look like, we do ministry like he did ministry. And if we do, we're a good ambassador. Amen? Praise the Lord. Wow. We've got 2 minutes left. Or three. No, just kidding. Just 2 minutes. If you're an ambassador, you represent the one that sent you well. Reaching the lost requires that we become deliberate about our lives. We have to live backed by purpose. Luke 19:10 says this. It says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and save that which is lost." John 6:38 says, "For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me." Jesus came back by purpose, seeking and saving the lost. John 17:18 says this, "As you sent me into the world, I have also sent them into the world." We've been sent to be ambassadors, laborers together with him. Jesus came into the world to change the world, and if we're called to be like him, our lives should make a difference for the kingdom. It's the last scripture I'm going to give you, and I better close. 1 John 4:17. The New King James, it says this. It says, "Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world." Everybody say, as he is, so are we. Say, as he is, so are we. As he is, so are we. How is Jesus? Well, he's not any different than he was when he was walking on the earth, because he said, "I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever" in the scripture. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. Isn't that what the Word says? So the Word says that Jesus is the same yesterday and today and forever. Well, what does Jesus look like? He went about in all their villages teaching, preaching, and healing. Glory to God. How do we look when we go? We go about all cities and villages preaching, teaching, preaching, and healing. Teaching, preaching, and healing. When we go on his behalf, we go in his stead, we go with his spirit, we take his love, and people's interaction looks just like it did when they interacted with Jesus. You need somebody to pray for you? Glory to God. He's the same. I'm the hands lay him on him. We'll pray for you. I'm not afraid to pray for people. Why? I don't make people healed. I'm not afraid to lay hands on somebody. Why? I'm not the healer. Just the hands lay them on them. No pressure on me to perform. I don't even have to hold you a long time. Shake you. You got to get prayed for getting prayed for. Like twisting my neck. All we're supposed to do is go into the world and be like Jesus. We lay hands on the sick, they recover, because he's still the healer. We go into all the world with the message of faith, with the Spirit of God, with the love of God, and the message that says, be reconciled unto God. Everywhere we go. We don't have to get in a bus. We don't have to go together. We don't have to all load up and go as an evangelistic team. We just take the Holy Ghost, the greater one on the inside, we go to work every day. People experience Jesus because we step in. I'll close with this. It's the reason why, and I've mentioned this before here, it's the reason why I didn't get all bent out of shape when people are like, they're taking God out of schools, they're taking him out of the courthouse, they're taking him out of everywhere. Well, they can't take him out of me, and as long as I can go down to the DMV, they can't keep him out of the courthouse either. My kids are filled with the Holy Ghost, and they were going to school. How are you going to keep Jesus out of there with all them Christian kids in there? You can't. God knew better than we did. But we've got this light, we've got his spirit, and we've got his love, and we're supposed to live out of that in front of people so that their lives are going to be changed. So that they don't see us, they see our good works and glorify who? Our Father in heaven. Maybe we'll talk about this again the next time. Father God, I thank you so much for the privilege to speak to this congregation. What an honor to serve this ministry, our pastoral staff, Lord, to serve you under the leadership of Pastor and Mrs. Hagen and Pastor Denise and Pastor Craig. It's my privilege and my honor to be here. To be among people who care deeply about other people, that want to see more than anything, a move of God. Lord, we're stirring ourselves up for this mighty move in this age that we're living in. We're stirring ourselves up to be the revival that we want to see, Father God. Tonight, I pray for every person within the sound of my voice that when they leave here, Lord, they leave with a stirring, knowing that the Spirit that's on the inside of them, the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, is quickening their mortal body. But not just so that they can walk and talk in this world with no purpose, Lord, but backed by purpose to do the things that you've called us all to do. And we yield ourselves to you, Lord. We say, here we are. Use us. Oh, and we yield ourselves to you. Oh, yield yourself to the Holy Spirit. Yield yourself to the unction of God. Yield yourself to the Holy Spirit. Let him work in you. Oh, we yield ourselves to you, Lord. Have your way in our lives. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Listen, if you're here tonight and you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, maybe you do know Jesus, but you've never been baptized in the Holy Spirit, or maybe you need to rededicate your life, you need a know-so experience, I'm going to ask our altar care team to come down right now. They're here and ready to pray with you. Don't leave here like you came. God intended for us to be a light in this world. And if you're here and you don't have Jesus living on the inside of you, you don't have that light, but you can have. Or maybe you're born again, but you haven't received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and that light's not burning as bright as it could be, but it can be. When the rest of us leave here tonight, I want to encourage you, come down and don't leave here like you came. Come down and let someone pray for you. Ladies, come to the ladies. Men, come to the men. But don't leave here without everything that you need. If you're watching online and you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I want to pray for you right now. Jesus died for you the same as he did everybody that's in this room. And if you'll allow him, he'll change your life. All you need to do is, the scripture says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Right there where you're at, you can say, Jesus, come into my life. Create in me a clean heart, a new heart. Make me different. I believe that you sent Jesus for me to die and pay the price for my sin. And I accept him as my Savior. And if you pray that, your life will never be the same. Guys, we love you. We appreciate you so much. Keep the fire burning in your life. Make a difference. Let's change this world. Amen. God bless you. Is there anything, guys? God bless you guys. Be here on Wednesday night. Don't forget to be here early for the lights. We love you. Keep our pastoral staff in prayer. Pastor and Ms. Hagen and Pastor Craig and Pastor Denise, keep them in prayer right now. Believe in God that they'll get some rest over this holiday week. Love on your church family before you leave. God bless you. We love you. Bye-bye.